Confidence for me comes from repetition, from practice. Okay. If I hit the ball enough times the right way, it becomes habit, right? I can confidently hit mm-hmm. that forehand. Right. Certitude to me is the knowing that I've put in the reps, that it feels right in my body. So for me, certitude almost feels, I feel it in my bones.
Welcome to the How Leaders Think podcast, a show that transforms you by renewing your mind and giving you new ways to think. I am your host, Kenny Lang, and with me today is the Carly Cunningham. She is a growth strategist, which is a fun term. I love it. With Big Bold Brand Inc., in case you're wondering how she incorporated.
Did I put that in there?
You did, yeah. So it's just like when people put LLC in their domain names. Like, I didn't need to know that, but thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
Carly helps businesses accelerate growth up to 200%, but no more, with her proven surefire method, trademarked, which is cool, by turning what makes your business irreplicable. That was a hard word for me.
You know what? There's no good thesaurus word for that.
Yeah, you ever seen Finding Nemo? And he's like, he's like, don't hurt yourself, kid.
Yeah,
that's what I felt like just now. It unable to be replicated into a system your team can scale with clarity, consistency, and certainty. Welcome to the show, Carly.
Thanks, Kenny.
We are off to a great start. Yeah, I feel like I'm going to get an email after the recording stuff. You're like, I'm going to need you to re-record that intro. So it's like, rating, how'd it go? It was great, except that he butchered the single sentence I gave him to read. That homeschooling really paid off for me.
Some good outtakes on this episode, folks.
And the fun thing about this is that all the outtakes are left in. They're more like intakes.
Yes.
Is that right? Why are they called outtakes?
It's like irreplicable.
A reptile. Tillion table.
I make businesses reptiles. Yeah, that's what I do.
Oh, right. Yeah. That's how you help them scale.
Boom.
Bam. And we're back.
Mic drop. And I'm not dropping my mic.
Yeah, because no, those things are expensive. Mind. I want one. Tell me, Carly, what is on your mind besides reptiles?
So many things, but let's bring it back for the audience. What's on my mind is this cool concept I'm working on for the new book I'm writing, or the first book I'm writing, which is a whole other thing. But I uncovered this really cool word because I'm a word nerd. And
so I've seen.
You're right. Story short, I was in a talk. Business coach presenting, and he said, you know what? He said, the one thing that most leaders want is more certainty. I was like, ooh, there's a mic drop moment. More certainty. And I just we had been working on a diagram as a part of this workshop, and I looked down and I went, huh. The name of the method that I use for, you know, the core of the work that I do is Surefire. I'm like, that would be a synonym for certainty. And I was like, yes, I sell the thing more leaders want. So leading me down that squirrel of a rabbit hole, do squirrels run down rabbit holes? I don't know.
Anyways, feel like they probably do and antagonize the rabbits.
Yeah, fox coming. Anyways, back to topic. So I ran down that rabbit hole and I went to one of my favorite tools, which is Wiktionary. And there was this sneaky little word in the synonyms part, and it was certitude. And I was like, ooh, that has some gravitas to it. And I thought, okay, and I like to, you know, split hairs and play with words. And so I went to the definition of certitude. And as much as it's a synonym of certainty, it's actually not the same thing. Right? And so this has evolved from that definition, which is, to make it simple, certainty, we all say, you know, I feel certain, I feel a sense of certainty. By dictionary definition, that's actually wrong. Certainty is the confirmation, it's the outside signals, the signals outside of us that confirm that we're doing things right. So for example, if, I don't know, you got water problems in your yard and you need to dig a trench to move the water away from the house, If the water is flowing in the direction you want it, that is a signal of certainty. I have done it right. This is going to work, right? Whereas certitude is the internal signals that we call certainty. And so for me, that becomes a lot like yin and yang. It becomes a lot like, well, you can't love others until you love yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And in digging into that, I realize that in all of my crazy outdoor adventures, when I take on these things like the Grand Canyon and I go do rim to river to rim in a day, I won't do those adventures until I have a sense of certitude. You can give me all the facts and figures and all the people, all their stats that they've done it before, but until I feel that internal sense that I can do this, that I feel a sense of confidence in myself, I won't take it on. So I feel like it's the word we've been missing a lot in leadership. You know, we're looking, we're saying, I feel certain there's these signals, but are you looking outside for the right signals? And then do you have that internal sense of the right signals to be able to forge ahead when there maybe isn't certainty that a project is going well? There isn't certainty in the moment or over a course of time that the team is coming together.
Yeah. I love that because I'm also a word nerd, and I guess it sounds like certitude would be a lead measure, leading indicator, and certainty would be a lagging measure or indicator.
100%.
Certitude also has like a little bit of swagger. It's like certainty with attitude. But that may be, I'll write your foreword.
I'll put it as one of those front quotes in the chapter.
Yeah.
And credit you. I'm like, serious. I'll credit you to
what?
It. Yeah.
Hey, I've at some point I'll write a book, but until then I'm going to have weird ass quotes that make it into books, whether I submitted them. Yeah. I'm already in two different books. I had a Slack message turned into an endorsement that I didn't know about until it was printed.
I love that less. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it ended up being a good thing, but it was like when I was handing out the book because my coach wrote it and I was like, yeah, here you go. Here's a book. And they're like, you're in this. I was like, excuse you. But the other one really was requested. And I got to write all about using the feelings wheel. So
there's amazing.
Emotion wheel. Boom. So certitude. I love this. And now this makes me want to change everything I wanted to say about certainty. And
made you think.
Because it did make me think, which is good. Not everybody can do that. But I think, you know, the person who had said, you know, more leaders are looking for certainty or certitude or both. I feel the same way about that concept as I do about the word control.
Tell me more.
It's my podcast. I'll ask the questions. No.
Folks, that was me almost spitting my water, not snorting. Not that either makes a difference.
I think we do, especially as leaders, as high achievers, whatever you want to, whatever banner you prefer, we want those things. I think they're illusions.
Yes.
I think we only think about that word because we know the absence of it. So we have a word to name it, but it is a thing that honestly does not really exist. Now, I do believe control what only you can control. Like I can control who I meet with or I can control if I'm, you know, what I'm going to eat for lunch today. Probably peanut butter and jelly sandwiches again because I'm 12 on the inside. But, and if I shave, I look 12 on the outside. So that's cool. I got tired of the truancy officers asking me questions. But that certainty, it goes right against what makes, I think, great leaders and entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, there was a quote, I want to say from Layla Hormozy, if you know Alex and Layla Hormozy, mm-hmm. and acquisition.com. And I just bought all their books. Actually, I bought like 200 of the $100 million money model books. So holler at me if I still have any left and I'll give you one. But she said that what she has noticed just in herself and the leaders in their portfolio companies and that show up to their workshops is that it's the ones who can deal with the greatest amount of uncertainty. Mm-hmm. Or uncertainty—I don't know what the word would be there.
Well, or lack of certitude,
and deal with also loneliness. So I'll eliminate that since that's not our topic right now. But just the ability to deal with the lack of it mm-hmm. is what typically is a strong indicator of a successful leader, entrepreneur, starter. So in your research and the book you're writing, which is exciting, mm-hmm. I hope to write one myself. So I admire people who have stepped out and done and are doing that or have done it. What are you finding around certitude, certainty, and what role that plays in leadership?
Well, I think that because that word has been missing, so that it's the akin, let's go back to the yin yang. Mm-hmm. If one of the two is missing, the whole is out of balance. So as a leader, if you've understood certainty to be one thing and only mm-hmm. gone looking for the half of the whole, and you're not necessarily looking inside for that, as I said, if there's a lack of signals coming at a given mm-hmm. time due to a certain event or just because that's the way a project tends to flow, where then do you get the gumption, the muster, the confidence? I think that's a really closely related word to keep moving ahead. So I'll go back to the Grand Canyon at the bottom. So the adventure went like this. My wife, a friend, and I, we decided to do the adventure. They were doing rim to rim to rim in a day. And I was like, hell no, I'm not doing over 80K in a day in that heat, but have fun. And when we got to the bottom to Phantom Ranch, the iconic ranch at the bottom of the canyon on the other side of the Colorado River, I said goodbye to them. And I think the last words I said to her were, please don't die. And they kind of laughed. And I was joking, kind of, because on adventures like that, things go wrong. And 2 weeks later, a woman the same age as us died in the canyon.
Jesus.
Due to heat exposure, right? So there's risk, right? Like there's a lot of risk. And so I said bye. I grabbed the famous lemonade. I actually waited an hour for it at the bottom of the canyon because apparently it's so good. I probably shouldn't have done that because it was really hot going up the other side.
Was it got like cocaine in it? Like what makes it?
Okay, I mean, yeah. Anyway,
it probably feels like it.
So off I go on my own, back up the rim, and there's not a lot of certainty. Like you have to make it to the top. There's a fantastic sign of a dude on his hands and knees vomiting that says, "Going down is an option. Coming back up is not. Please plan accordingly." And so anything can happen. There is a huge amount of uncertainty doing an adventure like that. Is the tap that's supposed to be on in 5 kilometers as I'm running out of water, is it going to be on so I can refill mm-hmm. my water? Did I bring enough food? Oh, the couple around the corner who just came around the corner told me that there's a rattlesnake around the corner. Is it still going to be there when I get there? Is it going to be hiding under a rock? Is it going to sit in the middle of the trail for a half an hour and make me wait for it to move until I can keep going? And so on an adventure like that, you can plan as much as you want and you can prepare as much as you want, but any instance can change that reaction or what's happening. And so you're reacting constantly to the conditions, to how you're feeling. And so the presence of the certitude for me is the thing that keeps me going. Not the presence
certitude
of certainty.
That, like in this case, certitude that you will complete what you set out to do, certitude
that I have
around
the
success.
That I've done the training. I've done the preparation. I've packed the right things. I've done everything I can possibly do to the point of stepping up to the rim that morning at 3 a.m. to make it through. I'm going in prepared. I have what it takes. I have the knowledge, skills, experience.
It's not a guarantee.
Nope.
But again, I probably just because I've been reading a lot of his stuff, I have a recency bias, but Alex Hormozi talks about preparation. He says, prepare so much that it would be, what do you say, irrational that you would be, that you would not be successful.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I hear you saying, is that you, I've done everything within my sphere of control to do.
Mm-hmm.
I never can guarantee an outcome, but I have made it highly unlikely that I will be unsuccessful at, you know, this adventure, this, you know, whatever I've set out towards. And so, so that certitude deals more with how does it, I don't know, is it fair to say that it's a tied to how well you sort of flexed your agency in the situation as opposed to surrender to some sort of fatalistic destiny of what was meant to be for this moment, whether that's giving a talk, going into the Grand Canyon for cocaine lemonade, or anything in between.
Yeah, I mean, let's pull out of the canyon for a minute and go to the business owners that I work with. Part of how we get them to that sense of certitude, which they used to come back to me after we finished a project. I'll get into what that looks like in a minute. And I would say to them at the end of the project to start measuring impact and ROI. So of the work that we've done, what has been the impact in ROI? 95% of them come back to me and they say, confidence. I say, well, what do you mean? And it's usually unsolicited. I don't feed them that word. I'm very careful not to feed it because I got really curious that it kept coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And they would say, well, I feel more confident about talking about my business. I feel like I can stand in front of a room of people as a high introvert and present on my business. I'm clear on who we are, what we do, the value we deliver, and how we're different. And so a big piece of the work that I'm doing is I'm helping them get clarity, whether they're coming to me to build a strategic plan and we're working on those business strategy elements, or we're moving into, we need to build a great brand and reputation and we need to differentiate and position ourselves. They all weave together somehow. It's all about getting it all out of their head and getting it down onto paper so that they can see it clearly. And when that mirrors back to them and we get into the word nerdy stuff where we choose the words intentionally that are theirs, that they can own, that they feel authentic in communicating. Because trust me, I've got a background in graphic design and creative stuff. That's my industry. I've been in you know, branding, marketing, communications for 25 years. You can get really fluffy, florally, you know, decorative with words. But what I know is when people don't feel comfortable using those words, it's just like a wardrobe. They need to be comfortable in the clothes they're wearing. They need to be comfortable in the narrative they're telling and feel that it's authentic. So a big part of getting to certainty and certitude is that sense of clarity, is having a plan, is having the details and the knowledge. Mm.
So clarity, does it always precede certitude? Is it an essential component of it? Can you have certitude without clarity?
I don't think you can. That's a great question. But if I think back to
clarity too,
100%. I think that in the work that I do, it's always iterative. I mean, you don't just write copy once for your new website and then leave it there for 10 years. Is when you find out when you find out a new factoid from a client, or they have a certain reaction to a sentence, a word, the way something is said in tone, you should be then going back and iterating and changing it and evolving. And it's not about taking it and throwing it out and starting all over again. It's about that test and measure process. How much more confident in that do I feel? How much more certain in that? Do I feel like the external signals, if we're launching a new brand story, how are people reacting to it internally and externally? How do I feel when communicating it?
It's on a spectrum, but the spectrum has no end, but you can travel along it. I'm glad you brought up the word confidence. How does confidence differ from certitude, or does it?
Well, for sure in spelling, but now you've got my brain stumped. Oh, right? Look at you.
See, I told you, it's my podcast. I ask the questions.
I know. And now you're going to do my head in. I think they're great synonyms. I question if confidence comes back to control. Can you ever be completely in control? Can you ever be completely confident? But with certitude, there's that difference of essence in the feeling. And I know that sounds completely fluffy.
Well, something that just occurred to me is you said clarity is an essential component of certitude. But I have met a lot of people who are confident, who are clear as mud.
And are they confident, or are they faking it till they make it?
Oh, they believe their own BS. And I don't work with those people. But as a matter of fact, I antagonize them. But it's just the Enneagram 8 me, I suppose. But to be a challenger. But that does occur to me. Like, there's nothing against confidence. I'm all about, I get some of the same feedback from my clients, especially in like one-on-one situations to where, you know, they're really working through something. I become a safe space. I assume they feel the same way with you, and I can process things with you. I can't with my direct reports, my board, or my whoever, you know, my partner. And then as they work through that in a safe space, and the confidence builds, but it's almost put confidence as like an out loud sort of, or just visible, more visible. You can tell, you can look at somebody and see how they are. But it feels like certitude is a, I don't want to say it's quiet, but maybe like certitude is for you, confidence is for others. I don't know. Yeah. I'm processing out loud here.
Now I want to go back to all their definitions, because that's how my brain goes. But if I think about, I mean, we encourage leaders to lean into their feelings, their intuition. Right? And so, If I think about where certitude sits within me, confidence I can build up. It's that error. It's the, you know, it comes back to, is it manufactured? Is it real? If it's real, confidence for me comes from repetition, from practice. Okay. If I hit the ball enough times the right way, it becomes habit, right? I can confidently hit that forehand. Right. Certitude to me is the knowing that I've put in the reps, that it feels right in my body. So for me, certitude almost feels, I feel it in my bones, so to speak.
Gotcha. You would embody and have that connection between your mind and your body. I don't, you know, we don't have to get all somatic on this, but I mean, it's important, but maybe too broad for one conversation. But that is that connection. As you were talking, it made me think about your example with, and how you phrased your example with the Grand Canyon. You'd done all the repetitions, but you didn't talk about the fact, I've done this trail so many times before. Certitude came from your preparation. It sounds like confidence comes from the repetition of having already done it.
Yeah.
So like, this is, and you're really changing my thinking on some things here, which I love, because again, it doesn't happen all that often. And maybe that's just because I'm a stubborn jackass, but the trail, I've told people, I don't know, you know, everything under the sun. I'm not the sage of all ages. And I've used the word confidence. I'm confident in my ability to quickly understand, adapt, and succeed. Whether I've done something ever in my life, throw me in, parachute me in, and I will figure it out. It strikes me that comes more, that's actually, I've been using the wrong word, is I actually have certitude
in my
ability to take on a challenge, whereas confidence would be, I have a history with this challenge of succeeding and I feel confident I can do it again, whereas certitude might be going into the unknown, and which is why I love the use of the word adventure.
Yeah.
Does that resonate?
That rings true. Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And there's a really interesting pathway or chain reaction that I've talked about, which you've now reminded me I have to go and adapt. But I used to say clarity leads to confidence. Confidence generates action. Action generates traction. Traction drives results. Results equal success.
Sound like Yoda.
So, right? little longer.
Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to...
But regardless of whether we use the word confidence, you were asking earlier about clarity, and does clarity always come first? And I'm like, yes, because without clarity, confidence, at least I've seen it with my clients, confidence that they're missing or that they're seeking or that they feel that they need because they don't have that internal sense of certitude that I've done this before, or I've been in enough crazy situations that I can pull this one out of the hat, no matter how ludicrous, insane it gets, the weather gets, the heat gets, you know, I can get through this. But I think without the clarity and the confidence, the action has the potential to fail. The action has the potential to not drive traction. Because I haven't thought about what is the appropriate action, which comes from clarity. And I find so many leaders get stuck in inaction because they don't realize that they're waiting for that combination of certainty and certitude, which maybe equals confidence.
Is that like the paralysis of analysis sort of thing?
Yep.
Which in a recent email that I sent out, I do like a short 60-second email every Tuesday. And in the PS, you know, because I was talking about just like, you got to move, you got to do something, is that the paralysis of analysis is just fear with a business suit on.
Yeah.
It sounds good. We need more analysis of this. Or we got to do our due diligence. We got to, like, no, I think
no, it's scared. Well, yeah. Okay. So that's really interesting. So we have to do more as analysis. We need more data. We need to go blah, blah, blah. External. Right? They're trying to convince themselves that there's more certainty to be had, that they need more certainty to take action. What they're actually saying is, I'm lacking the internal certitude. Or, you know, we'll say it this way, gonads or ovaries to make a decision and take action. Let's be fair.
I liked it. No, I'm all for it. Believe me, there was a even funnier version that I was thinking of that I'm going to
reserve for the next episode.
Yes, for our next one, where I will be darkened. It'll be like one of those Survivor, like Protect the Innocent. Anywho. No, I agree. Has your research shown, like, what is the, if people were to self-report, like a percentage scale of 1 to 100 of your certitude or certainty or however they, you know, you're working through that, where do they need to be to take action? Where's the threshold? Because, and I would think the threshold's lower in entrepreneurs, right? Like, I have a half-baked idea and I'll roll with it. Whereas you may have, you know, an individual contributor who's just getting started with their career and they've, you know, always been just a loyal contributor. They may need to be at like 90, 95%. But, you know, you're dealing a lot with senior leaders, much like I do. Like, where do you think that level falls? And are they trying to, like, I need more data. I need more data. Like, are they trying to say, like, I'm at 50, I got to be at 70, you know, before I can pull the trigger and go ahead and feel like, even if this goes sideways, it doesn't make me look totally incompetent, or I could correct it, or whatever they need to do.
There's two pieces of that. Hopefully I can remember both of them, because squirrel. But when we talk about, you know, individual performer, a part of the team, not a partner, associate, owner in the company, mm-hmm. there's different mm-hmm. stakes. So there's different risk. Mm. Someone's in a job, and if there isn't a certain amount of pressure put on them, there's no risk for them not to make a decision. So they can seek more certitude. They can also seek more certainty. So I think for them, both are going to be higher. And then the risk for them is looking bad, doing something wrong, but they're not going to get canned. But when we talk about entrepreneurship, being a leader whose reputation, whose job, whose company is on the line, it's going to be lower because we don't have time to faff around. Mm-hmm. Time equals money. Money is not abundant in the world of entrepreneurship unless you're one of the few Alex Hormozis of the world, right? You can't just, like, small to medium business, the ones I work with, they don't, you know, have money to just throw around.
Right.
So I think that they're looking for enough certainty, and if they even say it as confidence or whatever that sense is like, yeah, intuitively, I'm good to go. They'll go. Mm.
Gotcha.
I'd love to give you numbers and percentages, and now you're making me think that I should actually go to university and maybe do a PhD in this, because it's really fascinating. But I am much more of a street smart, self-taught entrepreneur who's done it on gut and instinct and certitude. I'll take more risk in business than I will in a Grand Canyon adventure. Business ain't going to kill me. Snakes are. The canyon might. Yeah. Bears. Yeah.
Lemonade. You don't know what's in the lemonade. Maybe that's where cocaine bear.
You know, there's from. Yeah, right. You know, there's going to be one person listening to this at some point that goes, I just got to go try that lemonade.
Yeah. And you're welcome. Yeah. Yeah. Little nugget there. This episode sponsored by Cocaine Lemonade. Wow. This is fantastic. And it makes me really glad that my family doesn't listen to my podcast. Although, to be fair, they would not be surprised.
They would not be surprised by this conversation either.
There's a line. It's not even a line. It's a bit of banter that happens in the TV show Billions quite a bit, where these traders will say, I think we should, you know, be investing here or here or here. And the main character, Bobby Axelrod, will go, how certain are you? And their response typically, and sometimes Bobby's on the other side of this, he goes, I'm not uncertain. Which I think is phenomenal. It's like, you know, it is admitting that there's no such thing as 100%. There's nothing.
Yeah.
I'm not taking a shot at your trademark business name, but there is no surefire, like, nothing is 100%. Right? Now, I think, again, we can make it irrational and unreasonable that something would fail. Mm-hmm. And that could be surefire.
Yes.
But I love that idea of, well, I'm not uncertain. Mm-hmm. Is that certitude? Because, like, in that case, they're investing. They won't know until they actually place the millions or billions of dollars in this fund, in this thing, watch it over time and see, like, mm-hmm. how that translates. So yeah, is that interaction?
That's a really good example of, yeah, I think, when you lean more on certitude, on that unknown thing.
So certitude isn't certainty. It's I'm not uncertain.
Mm-hmm. I'm not unconvinced.
Mm-hmm. Again, you're somewhere in that spectrum.
Mm-hmm. But so, what isn't, I mean, I'm going to go real deep for a minute here, but what isn't on a spectrum?
Mm.
In nature, everything is on a spectrum. It's either living or it's dying. It's either cloudy or it's kind of cloudy or it's not cloudy. And I think that so much of what we do as humans, and you come back to control, is we try and make things absolute and on a linear scale.
Binary.
Binary. Good luck with that. That's a really limiting place to be.
Yeah. I think the number
of things...
Like
the question, how much is enough?
Right. That could be a podcast unto itself. Yeah, the very few things truly are binary, one, zeros, yes, no, black, white.
There's a death lot and of, taxes.
Huh? Death and...
Death and taxes.
I thought you were saying something about Texas, and I was like, do you want to fight?
But no, anyways, sir.
And when you said you wanted to go deep, I was thinking as deep as the Grand Canyon, but anyhow...
It all comes back.
Yeah, that's going to be the title of the episode, is Carly Cunningham and the Grand Canyon, which sounds like a weird Disney movie, but...
That's all right. I figured in a cartoon mode, I'd be, you know, I got called cute till I was 30, so that works. Oh, aren't you cute? You're
and
little.
Then it just stopped, and people are like, 31.
I think it got a little inappropriate as I got older, but anyways,
it's just, we digress. It was on a spectrum. It was real strong and then it slid. It's not zero.
No.
It's like, what? You don't think I'm cute? I don't think you're uncute. Like, what? I don't know how to present that. That's a fun way to do it. Have fun with that later on. So again, this is a wildly fun conversation for many reasons, cocaine lemonade notwithstanding. By the way, that bear behind you looks like it was made entirely of cocaine. Yeah. And yeah. I don't know if that's a...
I will never look at that photo, that picture they're saying. I wish I could remember the name of it. It's a little girl in a bear costume and she's going, roar! And the big bear is over top of her. The bear is certitude. The bear is her certitude. Where is it?
I think there's a lot.
The bear is her certitude.
I think there's a lot of cocaine addicts with certitude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like you, I mean, you start
manufactured confidence.
It is manufactured. I mean, you got bath salts. Like you're raging out and you're taking on. This conversation took a weird turn. As a matter of fact, it may have just started out on a weird road. A wooded
damn
path.
Carly, for bringing up an unknown word.
I know, but it really was a lot of fun. Now, Carly, as somebody's listening to this and they're like, okay, I'm a leader. You know, I've been thinking about things in terms of certainty and confidence. So you've given me a new word, certitude, and maybe a new lens by which to see how I'm developing myself, not just producing results, but cultivating something inside of me.
Mm-hmm.
What is... maybe the first step, a baby step, someone could take in the next 24 hours spending little to no money to cultivate that certitude within themselves?
It's a great question. I'm genuinely not being trite. I think going and looking up the definitions and saying both the words out loud and seeing how they feel to you. And they're like, my God, this girl has a lot of feelings. But we're human. We live in emotions. We respond and we react to things. And I know that for myself, I had a very different reaction to the two words. And when I started to unpack them and dig into their individual meanings, it all started to become a lot clearer to me. And beyond that starting of understanding is playing with, what do I need more of in this situation? Do I need external confirmation? Do I need external data? Or do I need to trust in myself more? Do I need to lean in on my skills more? What internally can I rely on as my internal measures?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it my knowledge? Is it my experience? Is it my creativity? Is it because I've been in so many hairy leadership conversations or employee conversations or crazy projects that I just know what it feels like when I can get through this. I know what it feels like when I can rally the team together. Mm-hmm. And I know the steps to do that.
Right. You have the reps and sets. Yeah.
You have the reps and sets.
There was a part of me that, as you said, go and say those out loud. I imagined Michael Scott walking out and yelling, "I declare bankruptcy." I just imagine people like going and yelling, "Certitude!" And people are like,
"Yeah,
what's wrong with that guy?" But I do think there are words that when you, especially when you do vocalize something out loud, you do feel something in your body and you can make a connection to certain words. That's why we repeat certain stories over and over again, is because mm-hmm. we like the way it felt coming out. It felt authentic. Or we loved the feeling we got when somebody responded a certain way. We kind of find like the jokes or the stories yeah. that get people's attention.
Here's a fun exercise. I'm going to throw it to the audience and see if anybody does it, and see if you get any Instagram or, you know, people
hate
sending you texts
or whatever.
Well, yeah. Or that, because this cocaine episode just ran way rampant and they're like, "Wow, dude, we're falling apart here." But I went back to when you were saying that, I went back to this exercise that I did in college in graphic design school, and we had to pick a word and we had to do different cells on a board or different squares. And, you know, one was to spell the word, but pick an appropriate font for how we felt that the word looked or how it felt. And then we could draw an expression of the word. I would love for folks to draw what certainty is to them and what certitude is and how they differ, and just play with, let your creativity run with it. Mm-hmm. I'd love to see those contrasting
I want to see
drawings.
The fonts people pick. Like, yeah. Are you going for a Comic Sans?
Comic Sans, never, ever, ever.
What? I think my certitude, if I were to pick a font, would be in Wingdings, but that's just me.
See, if I was forced to use Wingdings, I would use it for certainty, because I'd be like, "Oh, look at all the different signals from the outside."
So no, I just switched actually my font pairings for my brand. I'm now using Inter and Crimson Pro.
Ooh.
So I got Sans Serif and a Serif. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Always a good balance.
yeah. And I haven't been a fan of the Serif fonts. I think I just got burnt out on Times New Roman as a child.
Isn't that all they ever used to print?
Yeah, they just, I think they took it too far. And I was like, you know what? We don't need all these feet on all these letters. No. Let's let them be free. I don't know what I'm talking about anymore.
Off with their feet. Off with their feet.
Let them wear Keds. I don't know why I picked Keds, but I did. They're great in a cult. So thank you
How
so much.
How should we wrap this up with value?
We don't. Okay. It's edutainment. But Carly, if somebody's listening to this, they're like, "Hey, this was really good, really fun. This has really changed my thinking. I want to know more about you, Surefire Method, Big Bold Brand," or maybe just, "Hey, how can I make sure to be in the loop for when your book drops?" Where Amazing. Would you send them? How can they connect with you?
I am most active on LinkedIn, Carly Cunningham. I just don't like multiple channels. It's just, it feeds the squirrel brain. So you want to find me. My first name is spelled oddly. It's Karley, and Cunningham is pretty easy. And I just launched my Substack to share the journey of writing my book. And I'll be sharing tools and tips and content that might not make the cut, that I won't be sharing anywhere else. So, and again, I'm Carly Cunningham on Substack.
Awesome. Carly with a K. I like it. I'm partial to K names. So it's always good to have a fellow consonant.
Good thing I wasn't Rachel, huh?
Yeah, good thing. And we're going to leave that in.
Awesome. There's
an
inside joke there.
That's a nice little Easter egg. Yeah. I'm going to start a Patreon where I just like include the backstory of the weirdest things ever said on the show. Yeah. For the low, low price of $4.99 a month, you can figure out why you should stop listening to me. Just kidding.
No.
This is going to be enjoyed by tens of people. So, Carly, I really have enjoyed this conversation. It's been a lot of fun, but it's also been a big shift on perspective. So I appreciate you taking the time. And to the listener, thank you so much.
Amazing.
We make this for you. As much fun as Carly and I may have talking about words, cocaine, bears, and lemonade, oh my. But I must be butter because I'm on a roll. But I really do. I love making this sort of content. It is a joy for me, and because I think it'd be weird if I hated it and I kept doing it. But I really do make it because I want to drive value for you. I want to help you out and provide conversations that maybe I wish I had when I was coming up as a younger or less experienced leader, but also just a way to challenge your own thinking, because I think that's one of the best ways that we grow. If you get value from this episode or any of my other episodes, I'd love for you to like, rate, review, subscribe, comment, whatever the right button and action item is on your platform of choice. It's probably Apple, Spotify, or YouTube are our big ones. Or leave a comment and say, hey, I love this, or hey, I hate this, or hey, can we talk more about lemonade and cocaine?
Hey, I had that. I had the lemonade. It was amazing.
Yeah. Let us know about the lemonade.
Yep.
So we're on lemonade watch. And also let us know if you're now addicted to lemonade. So if you like that, please let me know what you want to hear more of, what you want to hear less of. It is for you. And so I want to make sure that I'm tailoring it that way. And also your interaction gets this in front of more people in the algorithm that are just like you, just looking for information, perspectives that could help them take their next step in leadership. And that would be a free and easy way for you to help a fellow leadership journeyman along their way. But until next time, change the way you think, you'll change the way you lead. We'll see you.